This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, authentically.
You can join us on the air here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, we still have to talk about a Wyoming town, Captain, that you wanted to share with us that is dramatically, apparently, expanding the surveillance state. And then I have a related story about the Department of Homeland Security, which, of course, is doing that on a nationwide level. But first, we're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts. You can bring up whatever is on your mind. That is one of the things we do. We open up the phones whenever we're on the air here on Free Talk Live. Let's go to Joe in Maryland. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, hi, Ian. Hi, Captain. You're both in my prayers, as always.
Thanks. What's on your mind tonight?
I was going to ask you, how do you buy Dash? I was looking online. They said there's like a app. That, I think it was a Coinbase app or something like that.
That's one way you can do it. Yeah.
There are myriad of ways to purchase Dash.
There are. You can find people that will sell it to you person to person. That's my preferred method. If you don't have a community of these people, perhaps you can start one. Start a crypto meetup in your community, advertise in places, social media, Craigslist, that type of a thing.
That's the most private way to do it if you're just buying it from another individual. If you go through a system like Coinbase, and this applies to more than just Dash, yeah. This applies to any cryptocurrency. If you go to Coinbase and you buy stuff, it's all on the record. So, for instance, the IRS was recently in the news for going to Kraken, I believe it was, or Coinbase. I think they did Coinbase first. I don't know, maybe it was Kraken first. I forget. Years ago, they went to one of them, and they demanded a bunch of information about their customers, and now they're doing it again, and they're demanding information about customers that have purchased more than $20,000 worth of cryptocurrency. That doesn't mean that if you've purchased less than $20,000 that you're safe. They can obviously subpoena information specifically about individuals that they want to know about. So if you want to be off the record, there are better ways to do it than going through Coinbase, and certainly the individual-to-individual method is certainly better. There are also some smaller companies that will allow for this, as I understand it, and I have not personally done this, but as I understand it, Edge Wallet does have some ways to purchase cryptocurrency directly in the wallet. So Edge Wallet's a long time, we're long time fans of Edge Wallet here on Free Talk Live. Probably one of the most useful cryptocurrency wallets out there. And that is something where you can just download an app to your smart device, whether you're Apple or Android user, just search for Edge Wallet. It's two words in your app store. Download that, create an account. And I believe there's multiple different ways within that Edge wallet to purchase cryptocurrency. Now, they usually, you're going to have to probably go through some sort of know your customer procedure. But we're not talking about Coinbase, which is one of the mega companies out there. We're talking about likely much smaller operations that will maybe connect to your bank account and that kind of thing.
Yeah. The other way that you might consider, well, two ways, actually. One, if you have a skill or, a side business, you might just consider earning it.
Yeah, that's always a great way to do it.
The other thing that you can do is if you have something to sell, you can put it on Craigslist and say, hey, I accept cryptocurrency. I'm looking for Dash. Craigslist is an underused tool, I think, in my opinion, in the cryptocurrency community.
Or just take any old thing and then convert it if you want to.
Yeah, but they have a thing. If you go and you search, like, the for sale section, Like, say you're looking for a used car or something, there's a little box you can check that says cryptocurrency okay.
Does it say cryptocurrency? I thought it used to just be Bitcoin.
No, it says cryptocurrency okay.
No, that's cool.
And then you have to hit the apply button. Once you do that, it's only going to show you ads for people who, in theory, will accept cryptocurrency for whatever it is they're selling. And so you could take advantage of that by putting an ad up for whatever it is. You know, I don't know, you got something used that you don't need anymore, or, you know, you got two of or whatever, put it up for sale and accept cryptocurrency.
Another way, which is less likely to be utilized, is to mine it. There's certain cryptocurrencies that are what you call mineable. And in order to mine crypto, it does require some level of hardware geekery.
Yeah.
You do have to be able to, you know, operate a computer. You do have to have, I would say, an advanced maybe level, intermediate to advanced level of computer operation ability in order to do crypto mining. So if that's not something that you qualify, then just go ahead and toss that idea away. But if it is something that you can handle, then mining essentially turns electricity into cryptocurrency without any kind of awareness of any government agency at all.
There are a couple of other ways that you might already have at your disposal without having to jump through other hoops. PayPal does allow you to purchase, I think it's just Bitcoin at this point.
I think they might have a couple others.
But once you have Bitcoin, you can go on an exchange and exchange that for Dash. What was the other way? I don't remember the
names. A few of them. That should get you started.
Don't they have machines?
There are some vending machines as well that do exist. Some of them have Dash. Again, most of them have Bitcoin. Probably 99.9% of them are Bitcoin vending machines that may have, you know, Litecoin or something else attached to it. But the bulk of the sales are going to be in Bitcoin. And so you could find any one of those machines, go and buy Bitcoin, and then flip that into Dash or Monero or whatever it is that you want to do. And there's a ton of exchanges that'll allow you to do that stuff. So this is definitely something that you can dig as deep into as you want to.
I remember the second one. Cash App. Mm-hmm. It's an unadvertised feature of theirs, but they do have a cryptocurrency option in there.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it unadvertised. I mean, Cash App did a big rollout of that years ago, and they
advertised for a little while and then never advertised again.
Maybe.
I think it still exists.
Yeah, it's definitely still there. Joe, I hope that helps. Anything else?
Yeah. One more thing. And you talk, you spoke, about Monero being a good coin, and Why do you say that?
Okay, I just want to make clear, I don't make recommendations on what people should buy as far as coins. I don't know what's going to be good as far as value is concerned. The thing that I like about Monero, and when I say value, I mean dollar value or whatever, monetary value. The thing I like about Monero, the thing that makes it a good coin to me, is that it is a privacy coin. It is the world's most premier, the most popular privacy coin. There are probably dozens of privacy coins out there that are focused on not being public with your money, not being public with how much Monero you have or your transactions. Bitcoin, Dash, a lot of these other ones, they don't have that. Well, I guess I should take it back. Dash does have a private send option, but most of the other ones, the Bitcoins, Bitcoin Cash, a lot of the other ones in the world, they are completely public. Every transaction is available to anyone who wants to go look at the blockchain and see every transaction that has ever happened. I mean, it'd be hard to look at them all at once.
Right.
But you can look at any wallet of any Bitcoin user, and you can see how much Bitcoin is in that wallet. And you can see when the last time they sent Bitcoin was. When every time was that they sent or received Bitcoin was. And Monero does not have that ability. You cannot be some stranger and just go and look up a wallet of anybody. Only the person who authorized, I believe, the transaction, and maybe the person who received the transaction can see any data about that transaction. Anyone on the outside has no idea. And from what I understand, that has not been cracked. The federal government would very much like to crack Monero.
Why wouldn't they?
But they have not yet been able to do so. So that's one reason I think Monero is a very good cryptocurrency.
Okay, and do you have the correct spelling of Monero?
M-O-N-E-R-O, Monero. I believe it's a foreign
M-O-N-E-R-O.
Foreign word. I forget which language it is. Yeah, it's for money. Thank you, Joe, for the call. I hope that gets you started.
Thanks for your help,
Brian. Yeah, get out there and start digging around on the Internet. I mean, there's a zillion videos and websites and as many opinions as well.
You mentioned something about being able to operate a computer, and, man, do I take that for granted? Just the ability to, like, know where the start button is and you know, what a browser is and that kind of thing. I was pitching my EP to this young couple who are, I don't know, early 20s at best, maybe even younger than that, just some random people that I bumped into. And they're like, oh, that sounds really great, but we don't even own a computer.
What? They're just smartphone users or something?
Yeah, that's it. All they got is their phones. They don't have a laptop. They don't have a
desktop. Can't even plug a USB into that.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, okay, well, talk to you later.
Well, they can just download the album.
Yeah, I told them, you know, hey, I'm on Spotify. They're like, oh, we'll look you up on Spotify. There you go, You know? So, like, they knew what that was immediately.
Right.
But, like, they were just like, we don't even own a computer, do you?
Yeah, Bonnie, who is, you know, on the line between Gen Z and Millennial, she's, like, hurts when she has to use a full keyboard. She gripes about using this. And now, to be fair, the computer that we have in the studio does have a smaller keyboard than normal. It's not the full one with, like, the numeric pad on the right-hand side. It doesn't have that.
I miss the numeric pad.
But she hates that it doesn't have, like, the flat keys that you get on a laptop. And she just it's just not within her wheelhouse, you know?
Yeah. Way to make a guy feel old.
Thank you, Joe, for the call tonight. I do appreciate it.
I remember my grandmother having the old school long throw, like cast iron typewriter.
Oh yeah,
in
yeah,
the
yeah.
basement, and it was so difficult to type on one of those.
I remember those.
And I'm a non-traditional type. I'm a hunt and peck.
Yeah.
Kind of guy. I use my two index fingers and my thumbs, and I get by. I get like 60 words a minute or something.
My parents had one of those, I think, at one point, but it wasn't long after that that they got one of those automatic typewriters where there was like a screen and you could type out, I don't know if it was one line or whatever at a time. I don't remember the restriction on it.
It was like a couple of words or, you know.
No, I think it was a few, more than a couple.
Oh, the first one I ever saw was just, I think it was 20 characters.
Oh, wow.
And so you would type, and before it actually printed on the paper, because it looked like a standard typewriter, mm-hmm. but it had the little screen on it.
Yeah.
Made of plastic, of course. It had the little digital readout screen, much like a calculator. And so what it did is it put whiteout out of business. Because now you could see what you were typing before it hit the paper and make your spelling and punctuation corrections before spell check even existed.
Kids listening are like, whiteout?
Like, what's that?
What's whiteout? Because I think a kid today would probably know probably what a typewriter is if they'd seen it in a museum or something like that, or they're at
their
grandma's house.
Look at that, it's an old laptop.
Right, they're at their grandma's house. But there's almost no chance that they know what whiteout is.
Yeah.
Kids, just so you know, whiteout was a little bottle of actual, like, what they would call, I think one of the brand names was liquid paper, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't think it was actually paper. I don't know what the hell it was.
Basically white
paint. Some chemical.
Paint.
Yeah. That you essentially would then, you make a mistake with your typewriter, you got to go through and you physically white out the mistake that you made. You have to let it dry.
Yeah.
Then you can go back and type over it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Painstaking process
of
error correction.
I remember art class where we used to actually cut, copy, and paste from like newspapers to like make whatever it was that the art teacher wanted us to make.
Have you heard the critique that the icons that you see on computers, like on a word processor now, the save icon looks like a floppy disk, typically? And the critique of that is that it doesn't resonate with younger people.
Right,
what does
that
mean? What is this icon? What is it even? What does it represent? It's save, but what is it? You know,
like, I'm fine with that changing over time if humans no longer, you know.
But what should it be?
That's my question. It's like, I don't know what best represents save.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, a safe
little
icon,
memory chip,
something.
Yeah,
I don't really know.
Yeah. I mean, these days hard drives are going away. At this point, there's now something called an M2. Which I learned about in recent years. It's only new as of recent years, but I only learned about it probably within the last couple of years. I inherited this laptop. Sadly, our tech guy passed away of cancer, and I learned that it had these M2 drives in it. So there used to be hard drives that would spin real, real fast, right? Like they had there's a magnetic hard drive. These have been around for decades now. They've been getting, you know, better and larger over time and cheaper, and that's great, but anything that's got motion in it, anything that's mechanical,
gonna break down.
Is going to break at some point. And so they came out with these things called SDDs, which are...
Standard drives.
No,
solid state
drives.
Direct drive, I believe.
Yeah, like which are essentially computer memory.
Yep.
that is, it stays when the computer turns off. Normally, when your computer is on, it's got what's called RAM, and you know, you've heard about, oh, 64 gigabytes of RAM. That's temporary.
Random access memory.
Yeah, that's temporary RAM that you do things with your computer on. But these solid-state drives, you can save files to, and there's no physical platter. There's no mechanical device, and so it's not going to break down in the same way, but they do still have limited lifespans.
Have you seen...
Now they're smaller. What I'm telling you, Captain, is now the solid disk drives we're talking about are like, they look just like a computer chip, like a RAM chip, and you just mount them to your motherboard, and they're super fast.
Have
like,
you seen
crazy fast.
The amount of data that can now be handled on like a micro SD?
It's got to be up to a terabyte.
It's beyond terabyte now. And I'm like...
What is it now? What's the highest?
A terabyte, I think.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I was just shocked because I still have some that are like 64 gig, like for a, like a sport camera that I own.
I've got still more than enough for most applications.
I've got a sort of a field recording multi-track board made by Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
They might be the same company as the meeting company. But anyway... it takes a micro SD card, and if you read the manual, it says maximum of 64 gigs. But if you put any other,
it'll take it.
Yeah,
okay.
As long as it's formatted right, it'll take it. And so now I've just got this ginormous amount of memory in this multi-track device that I have that I'm never going to use at all. So
yeah.
It's pretty great.
It's pretty amazing. You gotta hand it to the tech people for continuing to develop this amazing stuff. Anyway, the number if you want to join us here, it's 603-283-6160. I don't think we went too far down the rabbit hole there, just you know, talking a little bit about the advancements. Because you know, you and I have been around long enough to where we remember the old hard drives. It was like, whoa, there's a gigabyte on there? Wow, that's really expensive.
256K?
Yeah. You know, you'll never need more than 640K, Captain.
I still have nightmares about the sound of modems.
Do you really?
No. Like whenever I think about it, I'm like, God, that was an ugly sound.
It really was.
It was just like they could have come up with something better, right? But no, they couldn't have because it was digital information.
Going over an analog.
Over an analog medium. And so it needed to make sound to make the connection.
Yep.
So,
it's amazing stuff, though, really. I mean, when I was a kid, I was calling what they called BBSs back in the day, bulletin board systems.
Yeah.
This is pre-internet, folks. Yeah. This is where you would use your modem on your computer to call another computer's modem, usually in the same town. You didn't want to go outside of the same calling area because then you'd be paying long distance, and it can get really expensive. But, you know, you call up this other computer and you could leave messages for people and, download files and things like that. But, you know, when I heard that noise, it was like exciting, right? Because something new was coming, right? There was going to be this was the indicator that something was going to happen. Sort of like how there's like a notification icon.
Like, oh, get ready.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Interesting.
Join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. Something that is not exciting is the negative side of technology, and that, of course, is being utilized by the government thugs of the world. And, Captain, you had a story relating to this tonight coming out of all places, Wyoming, which I'm surprised to hear Wyoming is leading the charge in Orwellian monitoring of a population, considering Wyoming is ostensibly one of the freer places, you would think, right? Like small population, freedom-minded people living out there. It was the number two choice for the Free State Project on the Free State Project's rankings when they voted for the states. New Hampshire, of course, blew it out of the water, but Wyoming was number two.
So this from Daily Wire, nationwide AI mass surveillance system takes root in another state. A national mass surveillance system boosted by artificial intelligence took root. The town council of Jackson, Wyoming, agreed in a close vote last month to install the 30 solar-powered license plate recognition cameras along their streets and traffic lights, which feeds into a centralized surveillance system managed by the private company Flock Safety.
Mm-hmm.
We've mentioned Flock Safety once before on this show. The town is the first in the state of Wyoming to install these cameras. Council members who agreed to the measure expressed reluctance with their decision. Councilman Jonathan Schechter indicated his belief that the cameras marked a negative trend down an undesirable path. echoing your sentiment, Ian, about, you know, Wyoming being, you know, sort of a more freedom-minded area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like this particular arc of this particular part of history, said Schechter. I'm screaming stop, but I voted yes.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah. He says, I'm sorry, I misquoted. I'm screaming stop as I vote yes.
What?
Yeah, I have no idea why he would vote yes for this thing.
I mean, why? He's concerned with monitoring, and he's voting for monitoring. He's getting some kind of payoff. I mean, what is this? How?
I have no idea. This is the oxymoronicism that occurs in statism, right? Statism makes you do things that are against principle. If you're a principled person or a person with some morals or, you know, personal ethics or something like that, and you become a representative in government at almost every level, it is one of the most difficult things in the world to keep your principles because they, like, being in that position forces you to make decisions you otherwise would not make. The cameras in Jackson are part of the Falcon line, which sends instant alerts to law enforcement.
Mm.
So this company, right, people who are like, I don't know, like ANCONs or whatever, be like, oh, well, it's capitalism. No. All the state is doing is paying a private company to implement this stuff for them. So
yeah, this is corporatism.
It's totally corporatism.
This is nepotism.
Crony capitalism.
Crony
at
capitalism,
best.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Falcon line sends instant alerts to law enforcement. There are different models of the AI surveillance technology, each named after birds.
Mm.
I don't know what the significance of that is. Raven is an audio device for detecting sounds of crime, such as gunshots.
This is Wyoming.
Breaking glass.
I mean, wait a minute.
Sawing metal and screeching tires.
Okay, I guess the argument's probably going to be that Jackson, Wyoming, which, by the way, is a population of 10,700 people as of 2020, that they probably, like Keene, New Hampshire, where we live, it's probably against city ordinance to shoot a gun within the town limits or whatever. Like, if you're in downtown, it's probably against the law to shoot a gun. But if you're out in your ranch in Wyoming, then... I'm pretty sure you can shoot your guns without it being considered a criminal act. So I guess the question is, where are these cameras located? Are they anywhere?
Where are these microphones located? Yeah. And what else do they pick up?
Right.
And the answer is, I don't know. But Raven's the audio device, which will trigger on things such as that list of stuff, breaking glass, mm-hmm. sawing metal, gunshots, screeching tires. Wing, which combs through thousands of hours of footage for specific vehicle identifiers for police. And then Jesus. Condor, which provides a live feed complete with zooming capabilities.
I find it hard to believe that Jackson, Wyoming, is having a crime wave that would make them want to seek out all this likely expensive equipment to outfit their police department with. I mean, this is, I just don't believe that.
It's Big Brother on steroids. It's even Bigger Brother, right? He just gets bigger by the moment.
This is pretty disturbing stuff. If you want to comment, though, especially if you support this, do you want to have microphones? Run by the government? Do you want to have cameras run by the government in your town? You've already got cameras at, you know, Walmart or whatever, but we're talking about government-operated, government-monitored cameras in order to, quote-unquote, make you safe. I mean, is there anybody out there that buys this? Obviously, these city councilors do. You want to join us here, 603-283-6160.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Two people are in critical condition after shots were fired at a community outreach event Friday night in Seattle. Police say at least two suspects are being sought. Former President Trump is mocking fellow Republican presidential candidate Will Hurd, who said Trump was only running for president to stay out of prison, unquote. Trump responded on social media calling Hurd a, quote, little-known failed former congressman. At least eight dogs have died while being transported to a canine training facility in Indiana. More than a dozen German shepherds were being driven from the Chicago O'Hare International Airport when the air conditioning unit stopped working. The National Weather Service says some relief is on the way for the Midwest and Northeast as a cold front pushes south from Canada. That will set the stage for thunderstorms and milder temperatures across the region into next week. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart, but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here on the live Saturday show. We're talking about the surveillance state, specifically the state of Wyoming and the town of Jackson.
So ridiculous. I mean, this is coming soon to a town near you.
Literally. Right? I mean, talking about like 2,000 people here.
Like, we already covered on this show how police are using your Ring camera against you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you have a Ring camera connected to the internet, you don't have any choice. Police can access that.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, use it for whatever purpose they feel like using it for. If you belong to one of these, I'm trying to remember what they're called. You have the Ring camera, you belong to like a neighborhood thing where you all like, you know, get together and like, it's kind of like a virtual
like a neighborhood watch.
Neighborhood watch kind of a thing. Yeah. Cops can access all that too.
Wow. Well, I mean, you should have known that one was coming when you bought the Ring camera.
You should have. Yeah. I mean, you've already got a spy in your house if you've got Alexa or anything that resembles that. So, but yeah, in Jackson, Wyoming.
Which is apparently often mistakenly called Jackson Hole.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if that means it's the same thing as Jackson Hole or if Jackson Hole is a different.
Hull or hole?
Hole. Jackson. You never heard of Jackson Hole, like, Wyoming?
No.
Well, that's a thing. I think Harrison Ford lives there. Yeah. There's a mosquito in here. I see what you're doing there.
Yeah.
Keep doing the thing.
The cameras in Jackson are part of the Falcon line. Again, more bird. It's for the birds, that's for sure. The Falcon line, which sends instant alerts to law enforcement. Instant alerts to law enforcement.
Right.
There are different models of the AI surveillance technology, each named after birds.
We covered most of that. But the AI-powered mass surveillance system by Flock Safety calls it Talon. T-A-L-O-N.
I want to know what people are saying about this, because obviously the city council or town council or whatever voted for this. Was it unanimous? Does it say in the story how the vote actually went?
Well, it does say that Talon has stirred up controversy for its similarities to the technology in science fiction realities portrayed by TV dramas like Person of Interest and Black Mirror, both of which first aired 12 years ago. In the former, the government relies on an AI program that predicts crime through monitoring the public with surveillance video and all other electronic communications. Sounds like it's coming true. Multiple episodes of the latter, each of which are reminiscent of the Twilight Zone, touch on the abuses and extremes of government-involved mass surveillance. Unlike its TV counterparts, Flock Safety says their cameras only capture and retain data on license plates and vehicles, not people, for 30 days or the time frame required by state and local law. We've heard that before.
Trust us.
Much like Person of Interest, the real-world AI program by Flock Safety can predict personal associations through something called convoy analysis, which identifies proximity and travel patterns of vehicles.
Yeah.
The American Civil Liberties Union characterized Flock Safety's technology as Orwellian following an investigative report last year.
This is one of the dark sides of the new AI technology fanatics, fanaticism that's going on out there. We've covered AI in depth on this program in the last year, and it's got some really cool applications. There's no doubt about it. AI artwork is really awesome. The AI chatbots are very interesting in what they can accomplish. But the machine learning that is the guts of these AI systems can absolutely be used for evil government purposes to oppress and repress and control populations. And we're seeing that being put into play in China. What Wyoming is doing, what Jackson, Wyoming is doing,
is the precursor.
Is China-like kind of stuff, yeah. Where they're monitoring, they're listening, they're sending notices out, and it won't be long before they've gone ahead and they've identified who everyone is, all 10,700 citizens of Jackson,
yeah.
Where they have figured out you through facial recognition or whatever, which used to be a joke a long time ago, not so much these days.
Real. It's totally real.
The early iterations were bad. Now it's pretty good. They're going to be able to start doing facial identification, and they're going to know where everybody is any time of day if they are out and about in their cars or walking around.
They'll be able to recognize the signature of your pipes on your car. Right?
Your pipes?
The audio signature.
Exhaust?
Your exhaust, right. Yeah. They'll be able to recognize, your tires are out of alignment because you're driving a little sideways, right? Your alignment's off, right? These are all things that they will be able to see because of this.
Well, the tire shop could sponsor this then, and they could get information about who's got their tires messed up, and they could send them a coupon in the mail.
Flock Safety allows police to obtain unfettered access to a suspect's vehicle history over time, across state lines, known as multi-geo search.
Wow.
It also allows law enforcement to search for vehicular fingerprints compiled by its AI. That not only includes traditional features like vehicle make, type, and color, but unique features such as bumper stickers and decals.
And like where you've gone. Where you are?
That's
you
what they're saying about the geo search.
Right, right. Are
your
you
patterns.
At the, what days are you at the grocery store? What times? What are your habits?
Yep.
Are you visiting, your mistress or whatever? Like, they're going to know everything about you.
Yep. Oh, it looks like old Phil traded in the old Ford for a new one, right? Because now suddenly the pattern is matched, but the vehicle doesn't, and they'll be able to go, oh, look, he got without, like, you didn't tell them that you got a new truck, and they know already.
Yep.
Over 2,000 cities.
You're going to need to register that, Phil.
Well, of course.
They'll send a notice.
And if you didn't, they'll know.
Right, right.
You know. Over 2,000 cities across 43 states have already installed Flock Safety cameras, according to the company. Civilians may also purchase the cameras and opt to share their footage in real time with law enforcement.
Okay.
So if you're a Mrs. Kravitz.
Yeah, you're a little snitch.
Yeah, a little nosy neighbor, nosy Nancy.
Busybody.
Hundreds of HOAs have also turned to the devices as their preferred security.
Whoa.
Yeah, watch out for those HOAs.
Yeah, by the way, these people that are behind companies like this are trash. You know what? Shame on you people. You are the people who are enabling the Orwellian police state. Yeah. You're making it possible. Because if it weren't for these tech companies, these cops would be dead in the water. They can't innovate their way out of a paper bag.
Right.
But because of the relatively free market in technology, there's incredible advances that are happening, and all the cops got to do is pay the money you earned, the tax money they stole from you, in order to upgrade their technology and upgrade their abilities to oppress you. Now, look, I'm not saying that somebody who's a murderer shouldn't be caught and brought to justice. I think that those people, I think everybody agrees that psychopaths, you know, that are actually doing harm to others should be stopped. But the problem is a lot of those psychopaths work for the government. They will use these tools to oppress people.
You.
Period. And this is scary stuff.
With their Flock Safety purchase, private camera owners may have their cameras alert them to customized hot lists of license plates. Pings on those hot lists are automatically run against state police watch lists and the FBI's NCIC.
Wow.
National Crime Information Center, for those who don't know. Law enforcement receives immediate notification of any hits against their state watch list or the NCIC.
Wow.
So suddenly, your little local town of 10,000 people in Wyoming is being accessed by the federal government. That's the NCIC, is the federal government.
Yeah, that's the end game here. They want this company is going to bring more and more cities. Apparently, it's over 2,000 cities has some variant of their cameras, LPR cameras. Is that the license plate recognition?
Yeah. But it gets
that's
worse.
Where it starts. That's where it starts.
It gets worse because Flock Safety's technology may be used for more than just LPR surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
The CEO and co-founder, Garrett Langley, told Vice News in 2021 that his technology could possibly be used by immigration authorities to deport illegal immigrants.
Oh, man.
Yes, if it was legal in a state, we would not be in a position to stop them. I don't think we would be in a position to encourage it either, said Langley. We give our customers the tools to decide and let them go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could decide not to have government as one of your customers.
His customers are 99% government.
Oh,
I guarantee you.
Yeah, this is in the tech industry, this is what's known as a cash cow.
Mm.
If your tech can't stand on its own and serve a purpose that individuals or businesses might find useful, the very common thing to do is to turn and pitch it to the state, because the state is what's known as cash cow money.
Yeah, they pay way more than what
it's worth. You can make an entire business doing nothing but supplying technology to government.
Right.
And in fact, there are several of these
businesses. That's what these people are doing,
Flock began installing its cameras in 2017, the year it was founded. Langley credited personal experiences of property crime in Atlanta for the inspiration to create the company. Prior to Flock Safety, Langley launched a car subscription service called Clutch and a live events mobile technology company called Experience. He sold the latter company to Cox Enterprises for $200
million
in 2014. Matt Fury, the co-founder, followed Langley from Experience. Flock Safety accrued $230 million in starting venture capital from Andreessen Horowitz, Matrix Partners, Initialized Capital, Axon, Bedrock Capital,
some of them.
Founders Fund, and Y Combinator. In the last few years, Flock Safety has raised around $380 million.
Yeah, there's no doubt that this company is going to likely continue to spread because it's going to increase the digital footprint of governments all around, not just the United States. I suspect they're more than happy to sell to international governments as well, who, of course, will use it to oppress their people in various different ways, because they don't care about what happens to the people that are using.
The CEO himself said it. He's like, hey, we just provide the tools.
Yeah, we're just the tech company.
We let them go. We don't, what they do with it, we're not responsible. Yes, you are.
Yeah. No, that's right. Yeah, you made the thing that is going to be used to put innocent people behind bars.
The valuation of Flock Safety sits around $3.5 billion.
Yeah.
They do have a competitor, Motorola Solutions that operates a similar database.
Lovely. Yeah. Great.
UGLY, they ain't got no alibi. They're just ugly.
Just, I want to know who out there thinks this is a good idea.
I don't.
I mean, we have people listening to this show that I'm sure are the back the blue.
There's some psychopath out there now. He's got a smile on his face. He's like, oh, that's coming soon to a town near me.
I want to be monitored everywhere I go. And nothing makes me feel safer than having strangers looking at me wherever it is I'm walking and scrutinizing my every destination. I mean, who wants to live like this? We're literally talking about the first steps of communist China here. Because remember, the thing that they have there that they haven't quite yet implemented in the United States, in Jackson, Wyoming, or wherever it is this technology is the social credit score aspect of this. But this is going to be, this is what undergirds that whole
system.
This
is the backbone of that system.
Yes, exactly.
The infrastructure, the beginning seeds of that infrastructure is stuff like this.
Right. They know all kinds of things about people in China, and they use that data, and they use their locations to restrict them to doing things like, oh, you can't go shopping. You can no longer shop at these places.
We did a story here on Free Talk Live during COVID where these people were going to go to a protest, but they couldn't go because the indicator on their social credit score app turned red.
This is in China.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, oh, I guess we can't go protest now because our phone turned red.
Right, and there's also checkpoints, as I understand. I've seen footage and I've seen imagery of these checkpoints that are at specific locations throughout the city where in order to go through the checkpoint, it may not even be manned. It's like an automated thing. Yeah. And in order to go through the checkpoint, you have to show or scan your device that has your social credit score attached to it.
Yep.
And if you've got a poor score, you will not be allowed to access that part of the city.
Yep.
And so it's this technology that this company that you're talking about here, Flock Safety, is implementing that can absolutely be tied right into a system of restriction of travel.
I'm certain that it will be at some point. And it's amazing to me how, I don't know what the right word is, how stupid people are when it comes to their, stupid's the wrong word, how ignorant they are. Like, you're gonna form a protest, you're going to get a bunch of people together who agree to meet at a place and a time to protest a thing. And then you all just go, oh, I guess we can't go because my phone changed color.
Well, because if you go, then they're going to snatch you up. It's gone too far.
It's the whole, the whole point of the protest is to stand up to the man.
I get it, but,
but yet here's the man going, we're just going to change the color of your app. Now you're oh, I can't go because my phone is
red.
Well,
I mean, look, I get, it's easy to say that, Captain, because you're not dealing with having been disappeared from your family with a black bag in the middle of the night because you went to the protest you weren't authorized to go to.
Yet.
Right, so it's comfy to say sit here and say, oh yeah, I would go, but would you really? You knew that was the likely outcome, because that's the thing. That's why these things have to be stopped before all of the implementation is completed. But that's the problem. People are so comfortable. To go back to what Skeeter actually was right about tonight, is that people are so comfortable.
Oh, yeah. Land of the comfortable.
Right. They're not going to stand up against this. And I have to wonder, this is the one thing the story that you were sharing doesn't cover, and there's not apparently a lot of coverage of this. I saw American Military News picked up, and they sort of wrote their own article based on the Daily Caller piece. So I don't know how much coverage this is getting. But what I want to know is, what are the people of Jackson saying about this? I mean, what are the people on the street saying about this idea of being monitored constantly?
Do we have a station in Jackson?
No, I don't know. I don't even know if we're on in Wyoming.
Okay.
I mean, it's just...
I'd be curious to know if,
so small
if the people of Jackson, Wyoming, were actually for this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose they could vote out the town council members that authorize this contract and then have the new town council members, cancel the agreement or whatever and then undo things. Otherwise, the only option is to physically destroy this stuff.
Yeah, right? Or they could get in Jim Bob's pickup and, you know, can of spray paint and, you know, take care of business.
Yeah, one of my old favorite videos, I don't know if you remember, do you remember 4409 from Arizona? The guy on YouTube, for whatever reason, his channel was named 4409, and he referred to himself that way. I have no idea what his real name is. I bet Ernie knows him personally, but he would go and he put on like a Santa Claus outfit once and got a big old ladder and he put it up against, you know, some panopticon tower with a camera or whatever on the top of it, like a speed camera or something like that. And it was during the Christmas season. He had a big Christmas present, like with the wrapping on it or whatever, but it had a hole on the bottom of it. And he got up on this ladder and he went up and he placed the Christmas present over top of the camera. So it didn't actually destroy the camera.
Smart.
You know, he didn't do damage to the camera. He didn't paint it or anything like that.
And he was delivering a gift, literally.
Yeah, it was a literal gift to the people of whatever Tucson or Phoenix or wherever he was. And, of course, it was going to be undone. The fire department probably came by a couple hours later and, you know, removed it or whatever, the ladder truck. But that's the kind of creative protest that I think is really inspirational. It was really memorable for me to see that happen. So that's, I think, one option is, you know, as far as protest is concerned early on in the game.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. While I'm against violence, I am fully against violence. I have no problem with sabotaging the government's systems. So whether it's Anonymous going in and hacking into these systems, whether it's Anonymous hacking this company,
right?
I don't care. Like, if Anonymous goes in, and it's unfortunately we don't hear much about Anonymous these days, but every now and then, you know, they'll pop
back relatively on the scene. Well, Anonymous.
Yeah, but they're also relatively quiet these days, and they used to be really, you know, newsworthy.
Well, the same can be said for the formerly rather vocal community of what's known as cypherpunks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is where, supposedly, the ideas for things like cryptocurrency came from. And then once it was released into the wild, they just sort of like the wind.
That's true. Well, yeah, they accomplished a big goal
in
that particular case.
They did. Now, I'm certain they still exist, and I'm certain that they're still working on stuff. I have no evidence for that.
Yeah. I think another solution here, I mean, because, again, what we're talking about is what do you do after the fact, you know?
Right.
Convince the city council or other options. Another option is to live in a place where the city council would never vote for this in the first place.
Right.
And maybe we have a chance at making New Hampshire that place.
I hope so. Because I do not want to see this anywhere near me. I've made a note to myself to never visit Jackson, Wyoming.
Yeah.
Or any of the other 2,000 cities where this thing is deployed. Because, I mean, holy George Orwell, Batman. This is just over the top. And, like, Charlie Brooker, who created Black Mirror, he was like, look, this stuff is just around the corner. You know, 12 years ago. Or whatever it was, whenever Black Mirror first was released. He's like, this is stuff, this is horror that is just around the corner. Right? The warnings are many, not just from Charlie Brooker, but from George Orwell, from, who's the other guy? Asimov, the guy who wrote
Brave New World?
Brave New World, thank you.
That wasn't Asimov. I should know because I read the book. But right now, your brain freeze has infected me on that one.
Right. Well, you know what I'm saying. Like the warnings have been many about this kind of stuff.
Bonnie knows it.
What is it?
Aldous Huxley. Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you, our producer.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff has come true.
And, like, it seems like they're following it as a manual.
Mm-hmm.
No one is heeding the warnings. People are like, oh, well, it'll never come to that. Well, it already has. It's that now. The formerly communist USSR could only dream of having the things that already exist in the United States of America today. As far as their tracking, the surveillance, the amount of people in the prison system, all of that would have been a wet dream for those psychopaths, and we already have it, it's here, it exists, and people are just like, what can you do?
Yeah, the presidential candidate, Aaron R. Day, who's an actual free stater, who's running as a Republican, but he's a really pro-liberty guy.
He's a bank run guy.
He is. He's encouraging a bank run. And his book, The Final Countdown, its first chapter, I've read the whole book. The first chapter is sort of like this fictional view of the near future where all of the stuff we're talking about, the Chinese social credit system, the monitoring, the CBDC, the central bank digital currency, yep. These things are all in place. And it is a very, you know, scary kind of vision of what life could be like, what life may already be like in China, but what life could be like here in the United States and elsewhere in the world in a relatively soon kind of situation. And he points out at the end of this chapter, this sort of dark chapter, is he points out everything he cites in this chapter predicting the future is in place today. It's just that the connections haven't been made between them, right? So the social credit score system, that exists. It's just software.
Yep.
The system that we're talking about that's going into place in Jackson, Wyoming, exists. It's software that
in 2,000 cities
track people and, you know, be aware of where they're going and what they're doing. The central bank digital currency hasn't been rolled out in the United States quite yet, but it's happening in Nigeria. It's happening in Jamaica. It's happening in a couple of other countries.
The backbone for that was released recently in the U.S. called FedNow.
FedNow, that's right. So, but it hasn't been approved yet officially in the United States. But these are all of these separate, for now, technologies that it's just a matter of rolling it all up into one big system of control. I mean, it is right over the hill at this point. I mean, it's not even a very high hill. And the cliff that you will fall off on the other side is a very scary thing.
Yeah.
But that's where we're at.
It is.
That's where we're at right now, which is why I think that the Free State Project is such an important thing such an important thing to do sooner rather than later. The good news behind COVID was that it accelerated a lot of people's plans to get their butts to New Hampshire. A lot of the libertarians who, you know, have been saying, oh, well, I don't know about it. Okay, well, now we know.
They're like, oh, crap, it's happening. Yeah, I got to go.
Here is your total police state. Here is your total Orwellian, you know, industrial complex, pharmaceutical industrial complex, literally being forced into people's veins. It's time to do something about it. Great. And if you're in a minority where you are, and libertarians are in a minority, minority everywhere, then it makes sense to get together with other liberty-minded people in the same geographic area. Check out the Free State Project. We got more coming up on the surveillance state. It's Free Talk Live.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25% plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.